In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
As I said before, my name is Kristen Sullivan. My husband Brad is, who some of you have probably met by this point, is the vicar of Lord of the Streets. And I'm glad Hannah asked me if I could be here this morning to join you while she is off on a parish retreat. My normal ministry is as the school chaplain at St. Mark's Episcopal School in the Bel Air area. And so I spend most of my days with middle school students and younger. We go down to 18-month-olds. When I've had enough of the middle school students, I go and find myself some toddlers, because they like you no matter what. So this week, I spent 3 days chaperoning our sixth grade class trip to Camp Ed. We enjoyed the outdoors, we participated in various activities run by the Discovery Center at Camp Allen. One of these activities was a high ropes course. And if you're unfamiliar with ropes courses, they are sort of engineered challenges that are designed to build teamwork and encourage participants to push themselves past doing the things that they thought they could do. One of the initiatives that our group got to do was called the power pole. Now, I gotta give you a little bit of a visual of this. So if you imagine a telephone pole, essentially, maybe just a little shorter than a telephone pole, but that width, with some sort of metal, very kind of small footholds built into it all the way up. And on the top of it is a platform that was maybe the size of this part of the lecture here. And you're hooked in to a harness, of course. But what you do is you climb up this telephone pole till you get to the top, and then this platform is flat, so you've got to get yourself up onto the platform and try to stand yourself up to stand it. And once you get yourself up there, you can either just sort of jump off gently and they'll catch you, or if you want an added challenge, there's a bar that is on a wire out in front of you, and you can try to leap out and catch this trapeze bar. Yeah. I did not participate. I have done this before when I was much younger. I opted for not participating this time. But suffice to say that this is something that is not for the faint of heart. It's high up. The pole feels a little bit wobbly, even though you know that you are safely hooked into a line that is held by an experienced guide. There's always a little bit of fear that you'll fall and not be caught. There's that fear of being high up in the air. It takes a lot of trust. I stood at the bottom of the initiative and took pictures and watched as these kids climbed up to the top, and some adults, and tried to get their bodies on top of this wobbling platform. And most of them, as they got to the top, there was this moment, this look on their faces of absolute terror. Just wide-eyed terror. Because once you get up and you turn around, you realize just how far you are off the ground. But then, there would inevitably be this moment where they had realized that they'd done it, right? That they had gotten themselves to the top of this pole and they were standing up in the air, and their look would change to triumph. Now, most of us have not found ourselves on a platform on top of a telephone pole. But I imagine that we've all experienced that kind of fear that my students went through that day. Fear is universal. None of us can completely escape it. Whether it's fear of doing something new, fear of what our lives have become, fear of sickness, death, loss, fear that we're incapable of accomplishing things that we've dreamed of, or perhaps fear of the life we will live, and the aftermath of changes that we never asked for. Fear is something that we all face. At the beginning of today's gospel in Luke, the disciples are again locked away in their fear and doubt. This has been a theme of our Easter readings this year. Fear leads the disciples to lock themselves away. Perhaps it's the fear that maybe the same thing is going to happen to them that happened to Jesus. Or maybe it's the fear of stepping up and doing what they now think that they are supposed to do. There are so many things that could have put them into fear and doubt and bewilderment, as the gospel says. By this point in the Gospel of Luke, the disciples have heard that Jesus was risen several times. The women who went to the tomb on Easter morning reported seeing an angel who confirmed that Jesus was alive. After that, Peter rushed to the tomb to see for himself, because that's what Peter has to do, and reported, yes, the stone has been rolled away and Jesus is not there. And right before this passage, two disciples were walking down a road to a town called Emmaus and had a face-to-face encounter with the risen Christ as they broke bread together. So why are they still frightened and doubting when Jesus comes to stand among them? Unfortunately, we don't get the disciples' inner dialogue. But put yourselves in their shoes. Can you blame them? Their lives have been turned completely upside down. Everything they knew had vanished, and now they have been left to put the pieces back together and decide if they can become the people that Jesus wanted them to become. But an interesting thing to me in this account in the Gospel of Luke is that there doesn't seem to be the same admonition for their disbelief that we saw with Thomas in last week's gospel. When Jesus arrives among them, he questions why they're fearful and disbelieving. But it's a much more, I think, tender response. Look, you see my hands and my feet. It's really me. I'm no ghost. I'm no spirit. He goes as far as to ask for something to eat to prove to them that he really is a bodily, fleshy being. In the Gospel of Luke, fear and doubt seem to be the expected parts of coming to faith. We have to examine and doubt things to truly come to an informed understanding of them. Stanislaus the First, it's a great name, Stanislaus, who was a king of Poland in the 1600s, said, "To believe with certainty, we must begin with doubting." Doubt is not inherently wrong. We are often, I think, in our culture, though, expected to have this rock-solid faith that doesn't waver. People say, you know, doubt and questioning, you know, they're seen as a kind of a mark of shaky faith. But really, I think that they're just the opposite. Our doubts, our questions, our fears are the things that lead us to really think about what we believe. That investigation is the meat of our faith. But this gospel also points out something else that's very important. Our understanding of life, this life of faith, comes in community. Now, of course, there are decisions that we have to make for ourselves. There are internal battles that we have to fight on our own. But faith and life are lived with others. When Jesus appeared, he came to them in groups, twos and threes, and to the collective group of disciples. His bodily resurrection resurrection showed them that it is in our own human bodies, both individually and collectively as the body of Christ, that the work of transformation happens. Now this week, as I sat and I watched my students climb up to the top of that power pole, there was a part of it that they had to do themselves. Right? They needed to overcome that gut reaction in their stomach that says, stop, this can't be done, and keep going. But the entire time that they were climbing, they were also supported by their peers. All of the other kids who were standing around on the ground cheered them on, encouraged them to go just a little bit higher, try a little harder, put aside that negative self-talk that told them that they couldn't do it. And they celebrated each other when they were victorious. And they supported each other if they decided to come down early and not go all the way to the top. Without our community, we're left to figure out life on our own, which would be difficult indeed. Thankfully, Jesus comes to us in the midst of communities. Peace be with you, he says, all of you. You have been chosen to go out into the world and spread my message, but you don't have to do it alone. In our communities, we come together to study the Word of God, to break bread at our altars, to pray. We come together to look out into the world and name the injustices that we see, and make a plan for how we're going to help to alleviate them. We have to work through our fears and our doubts and get past the point where we don't think that we're up to the job that God is calling us to. But we never have to do it alone. There is always a community of support, community to be there with us and to cheer us on, to pick us up when we fall, to encourage us to go a little further, a little higher, take a little more risk this time than we did before. Amen.